B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Erev in Daf Mem Ches. We're going to start two lines from the bottom of Daf Mem Zayin Omud Beis. Says the Gemara, Toni Reb Chiya. Reb Chiya learnt as follows in the Braisa. Chirem, which is a fishnet, Shebein Tchumei Shabbos. Which goes as follows. You had town A on the west, town B on the east. And as we've already learned, every town has 2,000 amos around it that anybody whose residence is in the town when Shabbos comes in are allowed to walk around the entire town and go 2,000 amos in any direction beyond the town. So if you have the tchum, which is these 2,000 amos of A on the west, B on the east, then they each have 2,000 amos and they don't exactly overlap each other, which means that there's the eastern tchum of A, which is on the west, and the western tchum of B, which is on the east, are very close to each other. And in the middle of them, there's a type of a pond or a river, or there's some collection of water there. And this person, he's put a fish net into this water. And the question now is, The very fact that part of the water is outside the tchum of each city, which means the western part of this water is too far west for city B, and the eastern side of this water is too far east for city A. And you've got here the water in the middle, and the water is moving backwards and forwards between in the entire area, and then going backwards and forwards in and out of the tchum. So says the Gemara, says the Braisa, Cherem Shebein Tchumei Shabbos. If you have this fishnet, which is placed vertically in between the two areas of the Tchum, and this fishnet would typically be made of reeds that are standing close to each other, and the fish would get caught in between them. And now the two Tchumin are not overlapping each other, they are flush with each other. They meet each other but do not overlap each other. And he's put this fish tank, this, if it's a sheet or whatever it is, of reeds, exactly in the middle. So to speak, we now have part of the water on the east of this fish net and part of the water on the left. The question is, can city B, which is on the east, can they draw water from the eastern side of this collection of water, on which is one side of this net, and city A should be able to use the water on the west side of this net because the waters have been separated. Says the Gemara, Tzorich mechitza shel barzel lafsikoi. You need to have a partition of iron in order to be able to prevent the water moving from one side of the tchum to the other. And only then you're allowed to use the water. That means having a net of reeds is not enough, because if you draw water on the east, then you're going to, in effect, be causing the water from the west to come into the east, because the water goes straight through this net, and you're not allowed to do that. You're then going to be using water that is coming from outside your tchum. So that's what Reb Chiya said. Reb Chiya learned you need to have a partition of iron. Says the Gemara, Mechayech olei Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Chanina was Mechayech. I don't know whether we should translate this as he laughed, he ridiculed, he undermined, he rejected. However you're going to say it, he clearly was not in favor of this ruling. Asks the Gemara, Mai tam ko Mechayech? Why did you, Rabbi Yosi, not want to accept what Rabbi Chiya said? What was the issue? What was Reb Chiya so sure about, and what was Reb Yosi so sure about to the opposite? Is it because Reb Yosi assumed that Reb Chiya ruled like Reb Yochanan ben Nuri? And Reb Yochanan ben Nuri, we saw in the Mishnah, learned that chafetzim of hefka, objects that don't have owners, like a collection of water, typically would not have owners, that they are Koine Shvisa, and therefore they are not allowed to be taken outside the Tchum. And Rabbi Yosi himself, and he held that the water is not Kaina Shvisa, they do not have owners, and therefore Rabbi Yossi held, I don't need any mechitza, I don't need any partition here. And that's why he undermined what Rabbi Chiya had said. Asks the Gemara, Umishum de Sovar Lukula, just because you, Rabbi Yossi, hold and rule like the more lenient opinion that these ownerless objects are not Kaina Shvisa, does that mean that you have to ridicule or undermine those that are more machmir than you? So that doesn't seem to be the reason that Rabbi Yossi rejected Rabbi Chiya. And before we continue, we have to make it clear, and Rashi stresses this, that even though the area of water that you're collecting from is not 2,000 amos large, and so what's the issue of tchum? So you're taking the water a little bit from the west, a little bit to the east, so what? And Rashi explains that since this collection of water is within, any part of this collection of water is within the tchum of a city, it resumes the boundaries of tchum of each city. So the western part of this collection of water has the same tchum as city A, and the eastern part has the tchum of city B, and since the tchum of city A finishes exactly here in the middle of the bound of this water, and the tchum of the water of city B also finishes there, then taking water from one side to the other of this collection is in effect taking it out of its permitted tchum into another tchum, and that is asa. The question was, what was the discussion here? What was the argument between Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yossi? Says the Gemara, Elo, it must be as follows. Mishum de Tani, we learnt in a Braisa. Nahorois hamoishchim, if you have flowing streams, we saw this already before. Umayonois hanoivim, and gushing springs. Harehein karagle kol odom. Then they themselves, since they are moving all the time, so they, when Shabbos come in, they are clearly not Kaina Shvisa, they do not acquire residence where they are. And it's only when somebody actually draws the water, collects the water, and now the water is static, then the water resumes the boundaries of tchumin of the person that first acquired the water. But all the while the water was still in transit, was still moving, it is not Kaina Shvisa. So it could be that that is what Rabbi Yossi had against what Rabbi Chiya said, that Rabbi Chiya said that the water has a tchum, and therefore, unless you have an iron partition between the two parts of the water, you're not allowed to draw water. And Rabbi Yossi ridiculed that and said, it's as if you're assuming that the water has a shvisa, has residence, and you're not allowed to take it out of its residence. It doesn't have residence, it's moving. Says the Gemara, no, that can't be either. But Dilma b'muchonosin, who told you that the Braisa that Rabbi Chiya taught us was talking about moving water? Maybe it was talking about stagnant water. It was talking about water that was gathered in. It was not flowing. It was not a spring or a fountain. And therefore, it would be Kaina Shvisa. Why are you, Rabbi Yossi, so sure that Rabbi Chiya was talking about a flowing water? Ella, it must be something else that they were arguing about. Mishum diktoni, we learnt in another Braisa, Tzorich mechitza shel barzel afsikoi. Not in another braisa. In this braisa, Rabbi Chiya told us you need to have an iron partition to separate the two. Umayishno konim deloy. Why can you not use? This is Rabbi Yossi, so to speak, talking to Rabbi Chiya and saying, "You, Rabbi Chiya, why can you do not want to use a partition made of reeds? Da'ilu b'maya, because the water moves through it. Shel barzel nami ailu b'maya. Even if you have an iron partition, and the typical partition is only 10 tefachim high, the water is going to go above it, the water is going to go below it. There's no way that even a mechitza of barazel is going to help you, is going to stop the water coming through. But the Gemara says, no, that cannot be what Rabbi Yossi had against what Rabbi Chiya taught. V'dilma tzorich v'ein lo takonuk omar. Maybe when we read Rabbi Chiya, what did Rabbi Chiya teach? That cherem, these nets, shebein tchumei Shabbos, it's not sufficient. Tzorich mechitza shel barzel afsika. You're only allowed to draw water from this collection of water in the event that you had an iron partition that would stop the water from coming through. And Rabbi Chiya means to say that since there is no such iron partition that will actually stop the water coming through, therefore you're not allowed to use the water. And then that's what Rabbi Yossi also held, that you cannot use this water. That's what we think now. So what's Rabbi Yossi got against what Rabbi Chiya said? That as if to say, that water can go above and beyond this mechitza shel barazel, and this iron partition is not sufficient, maybe that's exactly what Rav Chiya meant to say, that you would need it, but since it's not possible to create it, you're not allowed to use the water. Elo, it must be something else was going on here. Elo, says the Gemara, mishum dekalu sheikilu chachomim b'mayim. Rabbi Yossi's objection against Rav Chiya was that you, Rav Chiya, are trying to make sure that no water is going to come from one side of this collection of water to the other side because it's outside the tchum, and therefore you're saying that a separation of reeds is not enough. You need to have an iron separation. This Rav Yossi says no. He says, since we're talking about water, and regarding water, the Chachomim made special leniencies that would allow us to draw this water, even though we're going to be bringing water from outside to outside its tchum. Where do we find that there was a special leniency with regard to be able to take water? Yeah, we've seen this before. Could the Reb Tavlo, like we saw from Reb Tavlo, the boy in Menei Reb Tavlo mirav, Reb Tavlo asked Rav the following question: Mechitza tluya mahu shetatir b'churva. In a ruined building where you've got suspended walls that are not reaching the ground, is one allowed to carry within the ruins as if it's an area surrounded by walls? Or no? Do we say since the walls are just hanging in the air and they're not coming down to the ground, you're not allowed to rely on that to carry in there? Omar Le and Rav said to Rav Tavla, Ein mechitza tluya materes elo b'mayim. You're not allowed to rely on a suspended wall unless we are trying to reach to draw some water, and in order to make it easy for a person to have drinking water, we allowed him to rely on suspended walls. Kalhu shekilu chachomim b'mayim, a special leniency of the chachomim to be able to draw water. What and how would that work? That would work that if a person wants to draw water from outside his window, for example, and the water outside the window is not in Rishus HaYochid, in a karmelis, it's a lake, a sea, whatever he's got there, and he wants to draw the water and bring it into his home, which is Rishus HaYochid. How is he going to do that? He's going to make, just outside his window, a structure of 10 tefachim high, so to speak, four walls, suspended in the air, and then he's going to lower his bucket, his pail, down into the water. He's going to draw the water out from the sea and take it into his home. Even though the water from the sea is all mixed together, and by drawing water, he's going to cause water to come from outside the confines of this daladamis, of this structure, this suspended structure, is going to come into this area, and then he's going to be drawing it. Nonetheless, the Chachomim said, you do not need to worry about that, and it's muta. So Rabbi Yossi held, in the same way as we're not worried about water coming from the Karmelis into this area and then being drawn into Rishus HaYochid, we're not worried about that. So too, says Rabbi Yossi, we're not worried if the water goes through the reeds of the separation. So why do Rabbi Chiya say that you need to have an iron partition to make sure no water comes through? It doesn't matter if water comes through. This is similar to any time when it comes to drawing water, that we have a leniency that we're not concerned. And that is what Rabbi Yossi actually ridiculed, or that's what Rabbi Yossi had against what Rav Chiya was saying. Continues the next Gemara. V'chachomim oimrim ein loy elo arba amos. We saw in the Mishnah, the previous Mishnah, that whereas Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds that a sleeping person it acquires residence where he is and he can go 2,000 amos in any direction, the Chachomim argue and say, no, since you were sleeping at the time, you had no intentions of acquiring residence here, you only have 4 amos. That's what the Chachomim said. And there's a discussion, what does it mean, these 4 amos? Does it mean you can go 4 amos in any direction? Does it mean you can go 2 amos in any direction, altogether 4 amos? Can you choose which direction to go 4 amos, and then you can't change your direction once you've decided? That was a discussion in the Mishnah, and we saw that Rabbi Eliezer holds that the person is, so to speak, in the middle of his 4 amos, and he can have 2 amos on any direction. Rabbi Yehuda said that he can go in any direction he wants, 4 amos, providing that it's only in one direction. You can choose which direction is going to be your Dalet Amos, and that's it. You can't go west Dalet Amos, and then afterwards east Dalet Amos. That's the machlokes we had in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, Hainu Tanakama. The Tanakama said, in contrast to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that he has four Amos. And we assume, what does that mean? We assume it means, like Rabbi Yehuda said, that he can walk in any direction he wants, four Amos, but not more than that. So, why is the Mishnah also quoting the Chachomim who say Dalet Amos, also quoting Rabbi Yehuda who says four Amos in any direction? It's the same opinion. Answers the Gemara, Omar Rava, Shmoino al Shmoino Ika Beinayu. There is a difference between the Tanakama who say that he gets four Amos and Rabbi Yehuda who says that you get four Amos in any direction. The difference between them is, do you only get four Amos and you have to choose where these four Amos will be? Or do you get four Amos in any direction, and that means you have a square of 8 by 8 Amos within where you can walk? Four Amos in any direction of where this person was when Shabbos came in. Tanin Amiochi, we see a brisa to this effect. Yesh lo shmoino al shmoino, divrei Reb Meir. Reb Meir, who seems to be the Tanakama of our Mishnah, he says that you actually have 8 Amos by 8 Amos. So it's not the same as Rabbi Yehuda. The verb, the terms being used are that they have 4 Amos in any direction, but it's a very different ruling. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you only have 4 Amos. According to Reb Meir, according to the Tanakama, you have 8 Amos altogether. Says the Gemara, Va'omar Rava, Machlokes lehalich. This whole machlokes in the Mishnah is only regarding walking. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, you can walk 2,000 Amos in any direction. According to the Tanakama, you can walk 4 Amos in any direction. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you can walk 4 Amos in any one direction. According to Rabbi Eliezer, 2 Amos in each direction. This is all about walking. However, v'leteltil, but in order to carry on the Roshus HaRabim, divrei hakoil 4 Amos in tfeiloi. In the event that they're in Roshus HaRabim, then you're not allowed to carry anything in Roshus HaRabim 4 Amos. So even according to Reb Meir, who says that you're allowed to walk 4 Amos in any direction, which means you have a square of 8 by 8, that doesn't mean you can carry something 8 Amos in Roshus HaRabim. Says the Gemara, Vahani 4 Amos heichaksivu. And it's taken us 47 daf to see this question. This halacha that we know across the board, you're not allowed to carry in Roshus HaRabim 4 Amos. Where does this come from? What's the source in the Torah for this limitation? Says the Gemara, Kedetani, we learned in the Braisa, based on a posuk, Shvu Ish Tachtov. When it came to Klal Yisrael in the desert going to collect the mon, and on Shabbos, Moshe Rabbeinu said, don't carry the mon, rather each person should sit, Shvu Ish, every person should sit in his place, and the word Tachtov actually means under him. That means the place under you, that's where you should stay. You should not carry anything beyond the place under you. What does that mean? Ketachtov, that the amount that you're not allowed to carry is the amount of space, the area that you need, that's considered underneath you. What is that? V'kama tachtov, how much is that? Says the Gemara, Gufo Yisholish Amos. The height of a person's body is 3 Amos. And there's a discussion here whether it's with his head or without his head. V'amma, one extra amma, could they lift straight Yodav Raglov in order to be able to stretch out his arms and his legs? So what a person needs, Tachtov, when he's lying down, he needs 4 Amos. Divi Reb Meir, that's the opinion of Reb Meir, that's where we learn the restriction of carrying 4 Amos in Roshus HaRabim. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Gufay Sholish Amos. He agrees that we consider the person's body as being 3 Amos. V'amo kadesha yitil chifetz mitachtov, mitachas margoloisov, maniach tachas marashoisov. He needs an extra amma in order to be able to maneuver his belongings, take them away from under his feet and put them under his head. He needs that extra amma to be able to use the place, that the place should serve him. You have one extra amma, altogether 4 Amos. You're not allowed to carry in a Roshus HaRabim 4 Amos. Asks the Gemara, Mai Beinayu, what's the difference between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda if the extra amma is for stretching out, or the extra amma is for his chafetzim, for his objects that he needs to move them around? Says the Gemara, Ika Beinayu 4 Amos Mutzumtzomis. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says that it's got to be up to 4 amis, not a millimeter more, because you don't need more. It's exactly 4 amis is sufficient. However, according to Rav Meir, that the extra amah is for stretching, Rav Meir holds that the truth is you can carry even a little bit more than 4 amis, because a person needs more than an amah to stretch. So according to Rav Meir, it's approximately 4 amis, a little bit more. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's exactly 4 amis. Continues the Gemara. Omale Rav Masharshia Libri. Rav Masharshia said to his son, Ki Ailis Likamedir of Papa, when you come before Rav Papa, Boy Mine, you should ask him the following question. Arba Amis Sha'omru, these 4 amis that the Chachomim learned from this Pasuk, that you're not allowed to carry in Rosh Hashanah 4 amis, what type of amis are they? Because an amah typically is either a fixed measurement of 6 tfachim, which is called amah shel kodesh, which was a measuring stick of an amah which was in the Beis HaMikdash. The utensils in the Beis HaMikdash were measured with that. There were 6 tfachim. Or it could be that an amah is typically the distance between a person's elbow and the tip of his finger. So the question is it ba'amo di dei yovinon le? Do we give him, according to his amois, the amois of that particular person? So if it's a short person, it will be less. If it's a large person, it will be more. Or no? Or do you say, oi ba'amo shel kodesh yovinon le? Or do we give him 4 amois of this amo, which was a very fixed measurement, a fixed area? And Rav Masharshia was now telling his son as follows. Because when you come to Rav Papa, he's going to give you one of two answers. He's either going to say Kodesh, or he's going to say Amo Didei. Every person's his own individual size of an Amo. Either way, I'm going to prepare you to ask him a question. Im Omar Locho Amois Shel Kodesh Yavinon Le, if he tells you it's fixed Amois, if so, Oig Melech HaBoshon Matehe Olov, what happens if Oig Melech HaBoshon, he was a goy, so it's not relevant, but somebody who's very, very large, who's a giant, and you're going to restrict him to 4 amois, that's going to be no easy feat for him. How's he going to get in there? How's he going to stay in there? V'im omar l'cho ka'amo didein, if he says that it's according to the size of the person, that's how much he needs, ka'tachtov, like we saw before, and therefore the 4 amois are measured according to him, ba'amo didei yovinon le, then eimale, ask Rav Papa, we have a Mishnah, and we've seen this previously in the Masechta already, that there are certain things where the measurement is not fixed for all people. It's very much dependent on the measure of the person himself. By the koimutz we had it, the fistful that was used in the Beis HaMikdash, the Mincha, and other halachis that are very individual. So the question is, this halacha of 4 amis in Rosh Hashanah Rabim is not mentioned in that Mishnah. And the question is, if Rav Papa is going to tell you that every person is going to be according to his own amo, between his elbow and the tip of his middle finger, and it's individual, then why is it not mentioned in that Mishnah? So that is how Rav Masharshia prepared his son for a dialogue with Rav Papa. Ki asi lekamedu Rav Papa, when Rav Masharshia's son met Rav Papa, then he asked him those questions. Omale, Rav Papa told him, Idai kinon kulehai loy havetaninon. There's a level of analyzing which is so particular and so precise that you're never going to get anywhere with it. You're never going to come to any concrete conclusion. Everything is always going to be shrouded in doubts. And so you cannot pull things apart to that extent. And la'olam ba'amo didei yovinon le, we always give a person based on his own amois, not fixed amois. Udekashiloch, you're going to ask me, ma'itam aloi k'toni gaba yesha omru, if you're going to say, if so, why is it not mentioned in that Mishnah that says that they are individual, that these are measurements which are individual to every person? I'll tell you why. Deloi psikale, because it's not absolute. Even though we normally measure the 4 amis based on the amah of every single individual person from his elbow to the tip of his middle finger, however, it's not completely true. Because if that area, if that amah is going to be much smaller than a regular amah, then if it's going to be larger than a regular amma, then that's the space we have to give him. Otherwise, he's not going to be able to stay in 4 ammis. If it's much smaller, for example, if this person is a dwarf, mishum de'ika nanos be'ivarov, somebody's got very small limbs, in that case, we will give him a larger area than his own personal amma, and we're going to give him a regular fixed amma, which is amma shel kodesh, of 6 tvachim that we mentioned before. Continues the Gemara. The next section in the Mishnah we learnt, what happens if two people each have their own independent 4 amis outside their tchum? They're not allowed to go out of their 4 amis on Shabbos, but the two amis of each of theirs were overlapping each other. So the halach is, says the Mishnah, that they can both put their food in the 2 amis that they are sharing. You have to make sure that the food belonging to one doesn't go outside his dalad amis, and the food belonging to his friend doesn't come into his dalad amis. But the 2 amis in the middle, they can both eat there and put their food items, their objects there. And then the Mishnah said, what happens if you've got 3 people, one next to the other, and 2 amis of the right-hand person is overlapping into the middle person? The middle person, his right hand 2 amis overlapping the right hand person, and his left hand 2 amis is overlapping the left hand person, and the left hand person has 2 amis, his rightmost 2 amis is overlapping with the middle one, and the left 2 amis are not overlapping. What's the halacha there? So he said that the middle person is allowed to put his object on the two amis overlapping either the right or the left. That's okay, because it's his space, and the people on the sides, they can each share with the middle person the 2 amis that are overlapping with him. But since the rightmost person and the leftmost person are not overlapping, there's no area that they're allowed to share together. That's what we saw in the Mishnah. And Reb Shimon added on to the Mishnah, comparing it to a case where you have 3 chatzeres, 3 courtyards next to each other. And there's an entranceway between the right-hand courtyard and the middle one, and the middle one and the left one. And the right-hand one made an Eruv with the middle one to be able to carry between them. And the left-hand one made an Eruv with the middle one to be able to carry between them. The same applies, that the middle one can carry with either the right-hand chotzer or the left chotzer. But the right-hand chotzer and the left-hand chotzer, things are not allowed to go from one chotzer to the next because they did not make an Eruv together. That's what we saw in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, what did Reb Shimon have to gain by comparing the 3 people who are stuck outside the tchum, not being able to leave their 4 amis, to the case of the 3 chatzeris? Answers the Gemara, this is the message that Reb Shimon was trying to give the Chachomim. Let's try and discuss this. The case of the 3 people stranded outside the tchum, what is that compared to? Is it not compared to this case of the 3 chatzeres that have entrances going from the right to the middle and from the middle to the left one? And we have to add on, this was in the Mishnah, that they each have their independent exits and entrances to the Rosh HaRabim. They do not have to go through each other's chatzeris, because if they do have to go through each other's chatzeris, then we have an entirely different issue that no one is allowed to carry anywhere until everybody who's sharing these chatzeris makes an Eruv chatzeris. And so Reb Shimon is saying, since the case of the people outside the tchum is similar to the case of the chatzeres, Maishna Hosom de Plegisum, why is it that in the case of the 3 courtyards, you Chachomim argue with me, Reb Shimon, and you say that none of the chatzeres, no one is allowed to carry from any chotzer to any other chotzer, even though there's an Eruv between the right-hand one and the middle one, and the left-hand one and the middle one? But in the case of the 3 people outside the Tchum, there you, Chachomim, do not argue with me, Reb Shimon, and you agree that they're allowed to share where they overlap. There's no issue with the right-hand most person putting down his objects in the 2 amas overlapping with the middle one, etc. That's what Reb Shimon meant to ask the Rabbonon. Says the Gemara of Rabbonon, how indeed do we explain the difference? Says the Gemara, it's very simple. Hosom avsha diurim, in the case of the chatzeros, typically there are many residents sharing each chotzer. If you're going to allow the residents of the first, of the right-hand chotzer, to carry into the middle chotzer, and the residents of the left-hand chotzer to carry in the middle chotzer, and there's going to be so much carrying and goings on there, it's inevitable that things from the right-hand chotzer are going to find their way to the left-hand chotzer, and that's osa. Therefore, the Chachomim said, we disagree with Yerub Shimon, and we do not let anybody carry from one chotzer to the next. Hacha, however, here, these three stranded individuals, lo'y avsha diurin, they're not many residents here, and they can be careful to make sure that even though they are both overlapping into the middle person's four amis, nothing from the right-hand four amis is going to find its way to the left-hand four amis. And therefore, we didn't argue with Yerub Shimon, and we allowed them to share the area they overlap. Continues the Gemara. Ushtaim hachitzonios, that we saw that from what Rav Shimon said in our Mishnah, that if the two outer chatzeres, they each are allowed to carry into the middle chatzer, but the two outer chatzeres are not allowed to carry into each other's chatzer because they did not make an eruv together. They both made an eruv with the middle one, but not with each other. Asks the Gemara, v'amai, why can the two outer chatzeres not carry between each other? Kiven de orvilu chitzoinois behadiem tzois. Let's assume, how did they make the eruv? The people in the outer eruv put their food into the middle eruv, and the people, that means the right hand outer chotzer, and the left hand one also put his food into the middle one. So what's actually happened now? The middle one is representing, is the base, that's where the eruv is, of all the people here. So it's considered as if they're all included in the Eruv. What's the difference that it was done as two transactions? First, the rightermost chotzer put their food into the middle one, and then the left-hand one put it into the middle one. At the end of the day, kiven de orvulu chitzoinis behadiem tzoyis, since they all put their Eruv food into the middle chotzer, havilei choda, then for all intents and purposes, all the three chatzeris have merged into one, as any Eruv Chatzeres. So why can they not carry between them? Answers the Gemara Omer of Yehuda, Kigoin shenosnoim tzoyis eruva bezu ve'eruva bezu. You're right. Had both outer Chatzeres put their Eruv into the middle one, that would have helped that now it's all one. But that's not what happened. It's the middle one put food in each of the outer Eruvs. So now you've got, you haven't got one chotzer, one bais, that is connecting all the three chatzeres. It's actually split into two. The middle chotzer put their food in the right-hand chotzer and in the left-hand chotzer, but the left-hand chotzer, the right-hand chotzer, they have not merged in any form or fashion. And therefore, the halacha that Rav Shimon said is accurate. That was Rav Yehuda's explanation. Rav Sheshes Omar, Rav Sheshes gives a different explanation. Rav Sheshes says, "Afilo teimos enosnu eruvon beemtzois." Even in the event that both outside chatzeres put their food, the eruv, into the middle chotzer, nonetheless they cannot carry between each other. Why? Kegoyin shenosnuhu, we're talking about that they both placed their eruv in the middle chotzer, but not in the same house in the middle chotzer. They put it b'shnei batim. Each chotzer has got at least two batim, two homes, and they each put their eruv in a different home in that chotzer. So it's true that the chotzer, the middle chotzer, can carry with each of the outside chatzeres, but since the eruv of the two outside chatzeres are not in the same home, they have not merged into one. Says the Gemara Kaman, who says that the eruv, that in the event that we want all the people to be merged into one, that the eruv food actually has to be in the same place? Is that not machlokes tanoim? Kabeis Shammai, this seems to be following Beis Shammai. The Tanya we learnt in a brisa, Chamisho shegovu es eruvon. If there were five people who lived in the chotzer and they collected the foods from all five to make an eruv chatzeres, and now they're all going to merge to become one residence, and then they can carry into the chotzer. V'nosnu b'shnei kelim, and all the food that was collected was actually put into two separate utensils. They were not put into one utensil, now binding everybody, all five residents of the chotzer, into one. It was split into two in one of the homes. V'nosnu b'shnei kelim, b'shamai omrim ein eruv on eruv. B'shamai say the eruv is invalid. Ubeis Hillel oimrim eruv on eruv. Beis Hillel say the eruv is valid; it does not have to be in the same place. If so, it seems that Rav Shimon in our Mishnah is following Beis Shammai, that says, at least according to Rav Sheshes' explanation, that the each of the outer chatzeros put their eruv into the middle chatzah. Nonetheless, it's not considered that it's merged because they're not the eruv was not put together. And according to Beis Shammai, the eruv has to be put in one place. And we're not so comfortable saying that Rav Shimon is following Beis Shammai. We know the halacha is always like Beis Hillel. Says the Gemara, no, afilu teima Beis Hillel. Rav Sheshes can say his explanation and it will still follow even Beis Hillel. Ad kanoik omra Beis Hillel hasam. When did Beis Hillel say that it doesn't have, that the food does not have to be together? Is elo b'shnei kelim b'bayis echad. If there's two utensils in one home, Beis Hillel say, that's enough. As long as they're all associated to one home, I don't mind if it's not in one utensil. Avol shtei batim. If it's in two separate homes, then again you have a problem, that you don't have a united residence for all the people who want to carry here. And therefore, says Rav Sheshes, the two outer chatzeros are not allowed to carry between each other. Avol b'shnei batim loy. And now the Gemara is going to say that we have a question both on Rav Yehuda's explanation of the Mishnah and Rav Sheshes. Omar le Rav Acha b'reidu Rav Avya le Rav Ashi. Le Rav Yehuda kashya u le Rav Sheshes kashya. I've got a difficulty with both explanations. Le Rav Yehuda kashya, what's our difficulty with Rav Yehuda? How did Rav Yehuda explain the Mishnah? That neither of the outer chatzeres put the eruv in the middle chatzah, rather the middle chatzah put the eruv in each of the outer chatzeres. And therefore the outer chatzeres are not merged with each other. However, the middle chatzah is merged with both and can carry from either itself to the right chatzah or the left chatzah. Says the Gemara, there's a question on that. De Omar, if you'd explain that we're talking about that the middle chatzah put an eruv in the residence of the outer chatzeres, the kiven de eruva im tzois behadi chitzayna havilei chodo. Says, how did this work? First, the middle chatzah put food in the outer chatzah, the right hand chatzah. What happened now? Before even they dealt with the left-hand chotzer. Now the middle chotzer and the right-hand chotzer have become one. That's what the Eruv does. Now that the middle chotzer is putting some food into the left-hand chotzer, Shlichusa Ovda. Since the middle chotz and the right hand chotz have merged into one, when the middle chotz now makes an eruv with the left hand chotz, then they are representing not only themselves, they're representing as an agent, as a shlichus, they're representing the right hand eruv, the right hand chotz as well. And if they're representing the right hand chotz, then again the eruv that's going to be put in the left hand chotz is now going to represent all three chatzeres. So again, why can the two outer chatzeres not carry between each other? That was the question on Rav Yehuda. Ul Rav Sheshes, the difficulty we have with what Rav Sheshes said, he said that Tehava Kachamisha Sheshruyim Bechotzer Achas, V'shochach Echad Mem V'loib Irev, the Osri Adodi. How did Rav Sheshes explain? Rav Sheshes explained that the chotzer was put into the middle eruv. The eruv was put into the middle chotzer. Both eruvs were put in the middle chotzer. Nonetheless, the two outer eruvs are not, they do not merge with each other because they are in two separate homes. However, the middle chotzer can carry either to the right or to the left. The problem with that is, as soon as you have two separate entities and residences in the middle chotzer, and they do, because even though the middle chotzer itself, all the residents in the chotzer made their own eruv, but now, according to Rav Sheshes, you're explaining the Mishnah, that since the eruv of the right-hand chotzer and the eruv of the left-hand chotzer is in two separate homes, therefore it's not connected. So if we were to dissect that, what would that mean? There are actually two independent residences in the middle chotzer. There's one home that's associated to the right-hand chotzer, a different home associated to the left-hand chotzer. So we're left now with a single chotzer, the middle chotzer, where it has two entities there. And that's no different to if you have five people living in a chotzer and one of them forgot to make the Eruv, the whole chotzer is not allowed to carry in the middle chotzer at all. Why? Because the middle chotzer does not belong to a single entity. So in as much as the two outer chatzeros are not merged because the two homes are a different entity, then that will destroy the Eruv of the middle one, and the middle chotzer should not be able to carry at all, not to the right and not to the left. That's the question on Rav Sheshes. And not only can the middle chotzer not carry to the right or the left chotzer, they cannot even carry in their own chotzer, similar to what we saw before in Bes Hillel, that if the food is separated, then the chotzer is in, the Eruv is invalid. So you're not even allowed to carry at all in the middle chotzer because there are two entities there. That was the question that we had on Rav Sheshes. Omar le Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi is going to answer le Rav Yehuda, loy Rav Yehuda kashya, v'loy le Rav Sheshes kashya. I can answer the difficulty against both Rav Yehuda and Rav Sheshes. Le Rav Yehuda loy kashya. What was the question with Rav Yehuda? Rav Yehuda said that the Eruv is each, the middle chotzer put the Eruv in the right hand chotzer and the left hand chotzer, and therefore they are not merged. And the question was that as soon as the middle chotzer put the Eruv in the right hand chotzer, he's representing the right hand chotzer, and when he then puts an Eruv in the left hand chotzer, representing both the middle chotzer and the right chotzer, it should be considered as a single Eruv. No. Kiven de Eruv lo emtsois behadi chitzoina, since it's only the middle chotzer that made the Eruv with the right-hand chotzer and the left-hand chotzer, but the right and left-hand chotzer did not make an Eruv between them, it's clear that they had no intention or desire to merge to the right-hand chotzer to the left-hand chotzer. They didn't want to merge together, otherwise they would have made an Eruv. And since they don't want to merge together, even though the middle chotzer has merged with the right-hand chotzer, but it would be improper to say that the middle chotzer is representing the right-hand chotzer when it makes its Eruv with the left-hand chotzer. No, don't represent us if we don't want this. We clearly do not want to merge with the left-hand chotzer, and therefore you cannot represent us regarding that chotzer, and therefore we're left with the right-hand chotzer and the left-hand chotzer not being merged, and therefore they cannot carry between each other. Ula Rav Sheshes loy kashya. This that you asked according to Rav Sheshes, who said that indeed the Eruv was put into the, both Eruvs were put in the middle chotzer, in separate houses, and that's why the two chatzeris cannot carry with each between each other. The two outer chatzeris cannot carry with between each other. And we asked the question, if there's two independent Eruvin in one chotzer, that should deem the whole chotzer belonging to two entities, and it should be also to carry there. Says the Gemara, no. Rav Sheshes loy kasha. Im omru diyurin lahokil. We said that when you make an Eruv and you put an Eruv into a chotzer, it's as if all the people that want to belong to this Eruv, it's as if they are residing, their residence is where the Eruv is. And that helps that now you, it's a kosher Eruv, you all belong to one place. That's all very good when it's a leniency that will allow you to rely on such an Eruv. But will they also say that putting an Eruv is so much representing the people behind this Eruv to the extent that it will be machmir, it will destroy the Eruv? No, that we don't say, because let's remember, it's not like the chotzer with the five people who are living there and one of them forgot to make an Eruv. There you have real people in the chotzer, two entities. The chotzer doesn't have an Eruv, you cannot carry there. However, over here, the chotzer itself has an Eruv. And the question is, since the Eruv of the right-hand chotzer is in one home, and the Eruv of the left-hand chotzer is in a different home, is it as if the right-hand chotzer and left-hand chotzer are in this middle chotzer, destroying the Eruv, because the two Eruvs are in different homes? That we don't say. It's only the representation of those outer chatzeris. It's not the people here. It's just the food representing them. We don't say that l'chumra. We say it l'kula. It's good that they're putting the food in the middle chotzer to allow the middle chotzer to carry into the outer chotzer on either side. But to say it to the extent that it's as if the people in the outer chotzer are in the middle chotzer without making an Eruv between them, destroying the Eruv of the middle chotzer, that's a stringency that we do not find that the Chachomim made. In Yirtzeh Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.